Welcome to our Mother's Day service at the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Mother's Day, May the 10th, 1987. We pray God's special blessing upon all of our moms throughout our world today. God bless them. And God bless you as you listen to our Sunday morning service from our church, Airport Gardens Baptist Church. We love you. I want all of our moms to stand, and we're going to have a special word of prayer for them right now. And while you're standing, I'd like to mention this. Next Sunday, all of our moms, would you stand, please? Next Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we have a special mother and daughter fellowship downstairs. And if you don't have a daughter, you borrow one. We're going to lend out two of our girls to two other mothers. If you don't have a daughter, borrow one and let's come, ma'am. Or bring your daughter-in-law. If you don't have a daughter, that'd be all right. The more the merrier. So next Sunday at 4 o'clock, next Sunday afternoon, fellowship downstairs. Let's have a special prayer right now for our moms. Father, you know what a great job it is to be a mom. We thank thee for our moms today, Lord. We ask a special blessing upon these that are here in this service and those who will be listening to this service by means of recorded tape. Father, we thank thee that you're able to strengthen and bless and undergird our moms throughout our world on this Mother's Day. We thank thee for all you're going to do. Help us as the dads in the home to strengthen them and to bless them and to help them in any way we can. We'd also pray for the children, that the children would also work together to make our home not just a house, but a real home. We thank thee for all you're going to do in each of these moms' lives this week and throughout the days ahead. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Before our choir sings, I do want to present this plaque here to the church. As most of you all know, the stained glass windows in our church, we have 10, 8 in the auditorium, 2 back here that you can't see, and 1 that they gave extra, free of charge, is back in the library. All 11 of these windows were given in memory of 2 dear people that are now with the Lord, Bill Cornett and his wife, Rhody. I had a homebound Bible class with both of them for 5 or 6 years. And this says the stained glass windows in our church are dedicated to the loving memory of Bill Cornett, 1896 to 1981, and Rhody Cornett, 1897-1982. May their memory cause us to live with eternity in view. And we're going to put this plaque up on the left side of the door back there as you leave. We thank God for Bill and Rhody's daughter who did this in memory of her mom and dad. Brother Kermit, you come and introduce our choir number, please, brother.
The choir this morning would like to do for you, Take My Hand, Precious Lord.
Thank you.
today is he wants to take your hand. We have to be willing to let him have our hand to lead us. Brother Burns is going to come to have a responsive reading in the back of your hymnal. While he's coming up, I'd like to mention these prayer requests. I believe Amadale Clemens has surgery tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken. Knee surgery. Let's be praying for her. Also, Dorothy Harvey, another lady that we need to be praying for this week. Some of y'all know Lloyd Harvey. That's one of her children, I believe. Dorothy has cancer, and let's be praying for her, her family. Also, Glenn Napier, Jack and Loretta's son, has had surgery on his ankle, and let's be praying for him this week. Also, others listed here in the bulletin. Lucille Manus, and lift her up in prayer. Also, Brother Lafer Giles, Scott Napier, Person Cottle, Grace Combs, Willie Davis, Elmer Davis. Glad Brother Sutton is on the mend and been with us the last two Sundays. We thank God for that. Brother P.H. Combs is not with us again. His daughter gave me a poem that I'm going to read during the message. Also, Brother Combs' wife, Melody Combs, Linda Burns, Mrs. Back, Murray Caldwell, Bill and George Kelly, Maud Barker, Ms. Jeanette Barker, my mom, Liddy Hamlin, Anna Campbell in North Carolina, Paul Combs, George Casebolt, Maud Polly's sister up in Ohio, Ms. Abrams, and I've got Ms. Roberts' husband down here. How's Virgil doing today? Virgil had eye surgery recently, and trust the Lord continue to bless him. Brother Burns, you come and have a responsive reading and lead us in prayer. God bless you.
If you will, turn in the back of your hymn there to selection 37. We are glad to be here this morning. We're glad the Lord loved us and saved us one day. And we're just grateful for that. And we just pray this morning for all the mothers who are here and throughout our land. And we, some of you are fortunate enough to still have your mother. Mine's been gone for some time. But she's with the Lord. She's happy. And thank God for that. We forget to thank the Lord for our many blessings that he bestowed upon us. And a mother is the greatest blessing that we can have. So, let us read selection 37. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?
It is sent forth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men.
Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid.
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand and it is given light unto all that are in the house.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. For whether we live unto the Lord, And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy and and the Holy Spirit.
For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved for him.
Let no man despise your youth, but be thou an example of the believers in words and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity.
That he may be blameless and harmless, the Son of God, without rebuke, in the midst of the perfectly converted nation, among whom he stands in the balance of the world.
Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank thee this morning for this opportunity. We thank thee, Lord, for this place of worship. And we just pray, Lord, that thou would let the Holy Spirit lead and direct us this morning. And we pray for all those who are sick and upon their bed of affliction. We pray for all the mothers, our Father. And we just pray that thou would bless them in thine own way. And Lord, we just pray that thou would forgive us if we've sinned. And we just pray that you would, if we have not pleased thee in any way, we pray that thou would forgive us for that. And Lord, we just pray this morning that thou would go with us through this service. Be with Brother James as he brings the message. Just give him the words that he needs for this people. Now go with us, Lord, is our prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We're thankful the children's church is upstairs today, and we appreciate Brother Earl and those who work then in the children's church. We'd like to ask Brother Earl to lead us in prayer today.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the many blessings that you've given us. And on this day, Lord, we especially thank you for the gift of the mother's love. And Father, we realize that your love is the greatest love that we'll ever know, that you would send your Son to die on the cross for the sins of this world. But Lord, we pray that on this day that we would never forget that at the foot of that cross was a weeping mother. And we think of the mother of Jesus Christ and the love that she had for him. We just thank you, Father, that in the heart of every mother is a special love that we do need to be thankful for and that we do need to show appreciation for. And Father, we just thank you that someday we can all be together in heaven. The mothers and fathers and their children, Lord, it's all up to us the way we choose and which way we'll go. We just thank you, Father, that through the blood of Jesus Christ, you made it possible for us all to choose to be together someday with you in glory.
Amen.
And Father, we just pray these services and this offering, Lord, would be used to lift up this name, which in Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen. glad to have their young people to sing for us right now before the message. That song today. This morning we're going to be preaching a song. You know, a song that's worth the paper it's written on has a message, and I thank God for the many songs in our songbook. I guess today's message is sort of a continuation of last Sunday's message. God, give us Christian homes. That's the title of page 356 in your songbook. Our nation needs to come back to basics. Our churches are made up of homes. Our nation is made up of homes. Every organization throughout the world is made up of homes, moms and dads and children. Brother Combs wrote a poem while he was in World War I about a wonderful mom who came to the grave of her son. It says her son was slain on Flanders Field, on shores across the sea. She weeps and prays both day and night in search where he might be. Many sad days had passed her by, and her age was growing older. She trudged to the grave in silent prayer at the tomb of the unknown soldier. She sprays the tomb with flowers that came from far and near. She mingles with their odors a sobbing, bitter tear. And it talks here about the prayer that she prayed at the tomb of the unknown soldier. I appreciate even the talent that God gave to that brother, Brother Combs, years ago when he was across the water. He wasn't a Christian then. But I tell you, thank God for these last 17 years. Actually, the last, how many years? Not 17, it's more than that, isn't it? 1962. 25 years. Brother Combs was 70 years old when he was saved, and he's 95 now. We need to have praying moms and dads and children. God, give us Christian homes. I believe our nation today is crying out for Christian homes. Homes where there is trust and love and forgiveness. I was thinking about the marriages that I performed in the years gone by. Used to be only one or so was separated. And now I'm sorry to say there's more than that that have gone their separate ways. Our homes need love, as we preached on last Sunday. Last June the 1st, we were in Oregon at the Myrna's mom and dad's 50th wedding anniversary. And when we came back the very next Sunday, June the 8th, I mentioned what her mom had said when she was asked, "How did you all stay together so long? 50 years, almost 51 years now." And she answered these words, "It took a lot of confession and forgiveness." A lot of confession and forgiveness. It's God's will, I believe, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that home stay together. Someone mentioned this at the chaplain's retreat I went to this past Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning. They said to me, it takes three to make a marriage. Husband, wife, and God. You leave God out, a home cannot prosper without God. As I said last Sunday, He's the cement that holds homes together. D.L. Moody's dad died when his mom was only 44 years old, or 41 years old. His mom raised the whole family with only three books in the home. The books were the Bible, a school book, and a book of family devotions. She raised her family in the fear of God. Her motto, D.L. Moody said, was, "Give others the sunshine and tell Jesus the rest." Give others the sunshine. On this Mother's Day, we need to be thankful for the moms that God's given us. Hannah, back in 1 Samuel, was a praying mother. She prayed for a son, and God said yes. And she lent her son to the Lord as long as he lived. She said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petitions, which I ask of him." A praying mother. Proverbs says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." What makes a home a Christian home? First of all, in verse 1 of this song, page 356, a Christian home is where the Bible is loved and practiced. The first stanza says, "God give us Christian homes, homes where the Bible is loved and taught, homes where the Master's will is sought. Homes crowned with beauty thy love hath wrought." God give us Christian homes. Christian homes. It's where the Bible is the most treasured book. The Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt speak, teach them diligently unto thy children." Notice this. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That's all day long. God's Word, the Bible, needs to be the most treasured book in the home. Homes where the Bible is loved and taught. God's Word. God said to Joshua when he started leading the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." God's Word. We had a song in Bible school a few years ago entitled, "The Bible is a Treasure Book." The Bible is a treasure book. Psalm chapter 1, David says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Same as in Joshua. Meditate day and night. You want to be a success? Know God as your Father, and Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is your guide. Stay in the book. This is a true story. God's precious Word. How much do we love the book? The Bible. Someone said to another man one time, "There's one word, one letter difference between you and me. You love the world. And I love the Word." The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If anyone love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." How much do we treasure God's Word, the Bible? Homes where the Bible is loved and taught. A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. A well-read Bible belongs to a well-fed soul. Isaiah 55 says, "Let your soul delight itself in fatness." Our soul needs fed, and I'm glad you're here today to fellowship in this service. But don't eat just one time a week. We got church tonight and Wednesday night. But don't eat just three times a week. God's Word needs to be read every day. It's the most important book in the world, the Bible. Not only a Christian home should be a place where God's Word is uplifted, but also should be a place where there is a loving, strong leader in Dad. Look at stanza number 2. God give us Christian homes, homes where the Father is true and strong, homes that are free from the blight of wrong, homes that are joyous with love and song. God give us Christian homes. I've got in the bulletin for today the thought that says, home is the place where we are treated the best and grumble the most. That shouldn't be, but it's true. It's where we are treated the best and grumble the most. I say this, friends, if you can be a Christian in the four walls of your home, you can be a Christian anywhere. That's the testing ground, the home is. Homes where the Father is true and strong. You can't beat this wonderful book in raising a family. Bible says in Ephesians 6:4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." In Proverbs we find it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go." Not the way he wants to go, but the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's a wonderful privilege to bring a child into the world. It's a wonderful also responsibility. Last Sunday I mentioned the fact a home is where children are wanted. How much do we spend with our children? How much time do we spend with them? We need to love our children. Train up a child in the way he should go. Not only is a Christian home a place where the Bible is loved and taught, not only is it a place where the father is strong and true, true and strong. That third stanza says, homes where the mother, in queenly quest, strives to show others thy love is best. A home needs not only a Christian dad, but a Christian mother. Children need both. We need to take our marriage vows more serious. A Christian home has a submissive, loving, caring person in mom. I was driving to the state executive board last May, which met up at Cedarmore, and I was listening to Charles Stanley on the radio. He preached a wonderful mother's message, and the last thing almost he said, the mom should be the queen in the home. Homes where the mother in queenly quest strives to show others thy way is best. Homes where the Lord is an honored guest. God, give us Christian homes. A few months ago, we had a song on the front of our bulletin. Y'all remember that? Y'all that were here that Sunday morning, Sunday night? B.B. McKinney wrote that song. I believe it was Have Faith in God. B.B. McKinney is the one who wrote this song right here. God, give us Christian homes. Almost 40 years ago, he wrote this in 1949. He knew what, I believe the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this. He includes the Bible. Without loving God's Word, our homes are just houses. He includes the dad in verse 2, the mom in verse 3. The word virtuous is in the Bible 3 times. And you know what the word that comes out after the word virtuous, which means strong, the word that comes after virtuous in all 3 instances is woman. Boaz looked at Ruth in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 11, and he bragged on Ruth because she had come to a foreign country with her mother-in-law. He says, "You are a virtuous woman." The other 2 times that virtuous is in the Bible is in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4 and Proverbs 31:10. The Bible says, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones." In Proverbs 31:10 it says, "Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies." the heart of her husband trusts in her, so that he'll have no need of spoil. You know what it says, dads, about a wife? It says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. I don't know how you ladies, what you ladies think about the Women's Live movement. I'm not here to get off on a side track, a side issue. But I say this, friends, I believe the Women's Live movement has got our nation in a mess. That's all I'll say. We need to get back to where God wants us to be as a nation. A Christian home needs a submissive wife. I didn't say a Christian home needs a slave. A Christian home needs a wife who is submissive. She's the queen. If the husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church, as Ephesians 5 tells us, it's not going to be hard for the wife to be submissive to a loving husband. There's two sides to the coin. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Be the mom that God intended you to be. I'll preach on the dads a little bit more on Father's Day. Robert Moffat said this. He testified that it was his mother's influence that led him to be a missionary. John Randolph said, I would have been an atheist, but for the recollection of kneeling at my mother's side while she taught me to say the Lord's Prayer. Susanna Wesley, mother of John and Charles Wesley. Actually, Susanna Wesley had 19 children, she and her husband. She had marvelous ability, wonderful patience, and she taught all 19 of her children. They lived back when the mother was the teacher. We're not going to leave the children out today. The last stanza says, God give us Christian homes, homes where the children are led to know Christ in His beauty, who loves them so. Homes where the altar fires burn and glow. God, give us Christian homes. My friends, today, the Bible still says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know what they did to disobedient children in the Old Testament under the law? When they could not make a child mind, they took them out and stoned them to death. That's what they did. Honor thy father and mother. I'm glad we live under grace. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother. Moms and dads, we need to be the moms and dads that we should be, so that our children can honor us. We should never make our children ashamed of us. Ashamed to call us mom and dad. Obey your parents in the Lord. There's 10 commandments. Only one of them, if we'll do it, we're promised a longer life, and that is to honor your father and mother. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Proverbs 20 and verse 20. A wise son or daughter maketh a glad father, but a foolish son or daughter despiseth his mother. In the last part of chapter of the fourth stanza here, it mentions homes where the altar fires burn and glow. I want to challenge you, Mom and Dad. Today, to begin a family altar, A-L-T-A-R. The Daily Bread said it like this. The family altar, A-L-T-A-R, will alter, A-L-T-E-R, many a family. You say we don't have time to have a family altar. I tell you, 5 or 10 minutes with this book and prayer with all your children around you will do wonders. We don't spend enough time with this book.